Okay, good morning, everybody. Baruch Tov. And welcome. Nice to see everybody. Hope everybody's staying healthy and fit and well. Good to see you all. I would like to announce today's sponsorship. We have a double sponsorship today. Very exciting. So the Zoom Shirim are sponsored through the whole of 2021, anonymously in the merit of an aliyah for the neshamas of Maaseiyahu ben Yisrael, Aaron ben Menachem Lev and Eliana Bas Yaakov. Thank you again for that generous sponsorship. And the live share today is sponsored by Mrs. Rachel Steiner, in loving memory of Pearl Steiner, Freya Penina Bas Yoel Halevi, on her 32nd Yahrzeit, which is Yud Tet Elul, which I believe is Friday. So thank you very, very much to Mrs. Steiner for that. And we encourage anyone who wants to sponsor the Shirim to be in touch with the office. Very happy to hear from you. Okay. We have put Shemitah behind us just for now, even though Shemitah is ahead of us, and we will return to it at some point. But now I want to deal with two topics, today and next week, just before Rosh Hashanah, which go back to the kind of issues we've looked at many times in the past. It's a theme that I personally am very interested in, which is not just the halachic conclusions, but the halachic process. Sometimes people want to give this the term meta-halacha, meaning there are specific halachic issues, yes, no, mutter, asr, chayiv, potter, etc. And there are hashkafic, broad worldview perspectives which influence those halachic decisions sometimes. A good example would be, is it or is it not permitted to go onto Har Habayit today for whatever reason? There are obviously very specific halachic issues involved, but there's no question that the worldview hashkafic issues of whether we should or shouldn't impact on whether we can or can't. But there's often a middle layer. I sometimes draw it on the board as a kind of inside track of halacha, a middle track of meta-halacha, and a broader track of hashkafa. And meta-halacha really is the methodology, the way that we are going to decide halachic issues based on bigger halachic questions. Do we incline towards being machmir, or do we incline towards being mekel? Do we regard some things as an important leniency to make people's lives more enjoyable or bearable in different ways? Or do we see this as a slippery slope? If we allow this, then we'll end up allowing that, etc. And it obviously connects into Ahava and Yira. Do we look at the positive religious experience? Do we aim for the, try to avoid the Avera, etc.? And I want to pick two examples, both of which will have different meta-halachic implications. The first today is showering on Yom Tov. We've never discussed this as a specific issue. It is an issue that comes up every time a Chag comes up. In Eretz Yisrael, generally speaking, we only have one day of Chag at a time. So this is not such a big issue. Most people, even in today's hygienic world, can manage to wait till Motzich Chag, Motzi Yom Tov, to have a shower that day. But of course, in Chutz La'aretz, you always have 2 days. Here we always have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And very often in Chutz La'aretz, and occasionally in Israel, you have what we call colloquially a three-day Yom Tov. Usually Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, occasionally Shabbos, and then Sunday and Monday, occasionally, depending on how it works in Chutz La'aretz. Not showering for 3 days for many people today is, distressing might not be exaggerated a word, and certainly uncomfortable. But when we ask Shilas to poskim on this issue, what's very clear is you get very different responses. I wrote you here a little summary. Some rabbis allow you to shower the whole body. I'm talking about Yom Tov, not Shabbat. Very clearly the difference between Yom Tov and Shabbat, we'll see. Others say you can shower up to half your body. Exactly how you measure that, I'll leave that up to you. It depends on how you're proportioned, I suppose, up and down, whatever. Others say you can wash your whole body limb by limb. Others say no, just your face, your feet, your hands. And others say you can't do anything at all in a shower. Some people allow showering in hot water. Some people, I think they're making some more sheets, so you should get one in a minute. Some people allow showering in lukewarm water, others in cold water, and others not at all. Some people allow showering in water heated on Yom Tov, some in only on water was heated on Erev Yom Tov, and others not at all. Some people differentiate between a private shower, a private bath, and a public bathing area, more like a dorm or something like this. And others make no such distinctions. Some people make a difference whether it's a 1 day, 2 day, or 3 day, quote unquote, Yom Tov. Others differentiate between a regular boiler system and a Dud Shemesh boiler system. We'll talk about that as we go through. So you've got a lot of different poskim going in different directions. And what I find very interesting, this seems for some people to be a little bit of a trigger issue. Meaning there are, there are different days on whether you, what bracha you make on a rice cake. Do you make a shahakol, you make a hadama, maybe even a mazonas? I've never ever seen anyone get excited or upset about this undoubtedly important shaila, but I've never seen it trigger anybody. But this, you get some very vociferous reactions. Oh, it's awesome, it's completely awesome, you must tell people they mustn't do it, it's like it's an innovation. So something in this is making people unhappy. And in the other direction as well, how can you tell people they can't bathe for 3 days, it's not appropriate, derachecha darchi noam, etc. So I want to try and pick up what are the issues that people are triggered by, and I think that there actually are two main ones we'll see. There's a meta-halachic issue as to whether you subjectivize halacha, which for some people is a big red rag to a bull. It's a bell that goes off in their head. If you say something like, well, in the time of the Gemara, it used to be shave l'kol nefesh, we'll see what that means, to just wash your hands and feet. But now, these days, it's shave l'kol nefesh to do other things. Some people get very upset by that, because they say, if you're going to subjectivize halakha, maybe you'll start going down a path towards, well, this is allowed, and today this, and today that. We don't. Halakha is objective. It never changes. That's one issue which I think triggers people. And another issue which I think triggers people as well, and I'm not saying these are wrong, but these are issues, is, well, if you say people can shower, then all of a sudden people are going to be using the pool, and they get Shabbos is going to be like a weekday. People are very unhappy about the possibility of using the pool on Shabbos.
I was mentioned recently here in Israel
by... Oh, really?
Aryeh Deri was talking about the Givat Shaul religious who go to the spa and use the pool.
Okay, so using the pool on Shabbos also is something of a trigger issue to stop people from making Shabbos into a weekday. Okay, but we'll see, even though there really isn't a clear halachic reason why you can't use the pool on Shabbos, we'll see what the minhagim comes. But this becomes a real issue. Lamaisa, it's certainly not Shabbosic to use the pool. If you ask me, should you go in the pool on Shabbos, I would say definitely not. But we'll see where that's coming from very soon. Okay, let's start with the basics. This is actually quite complicated. Silly as it sounds, you would have thought, well, showering in Yom Tov, how complex can it be? We'll see why it's complicated, which is why there are different opinions. Let's start with the easy stuff. On Shabbat, all malacha is prohibited. Number one, for Yom HaShvi Shabbat LaShem Elokecha, lo ta'aseh kol malacha. Are they doing some more sheets for the people who haven't got? Are there more sheets coming in? Yes. Good, because people feel deprived of the sheet. I think there's a couple over here that we need. Please, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, so lo ta'aseh kol malacha. There's a few more if you don't mind bringing a few more in. Thank you very much. Lo ta'aseh kol malacha. Okay, so that's very clear. You can't do any malacha. 39 malachot, so defined, not getting into them now. Some of the malachot are actually flagged in the psukim. If you look in number 2, it talks about within the context of the man here. So Hashem says to Moshe to tell the people, okay, daber Hashem et Shabbaton, Shabbat kodesh l'Hashem, macha et asher to'ofu eifu, whatever you need to bake, bake, ve'et asher tevashalu bashelu, and whatever you need to do, bishel on, do bishel. So bishel, cooking, is one of the malachas which is specifically flagged in the verses themselves. And now it doesn't matter halachically whether it's a malacha like bishel that's mentioned in the text or a malacha like malabain, for example, cleaning a cloth, which is learned through halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It doesn't make any difference, but it's interesting that bishel is there for all to see. When it comes to yontef, we have a slightly different formulation. Number three, but v'yom harishon mikra kodesh, v'yom hashvi mikra kodesh, talking about Pesach, Yelachem, it's going to be a mikra kodesh on both of those days. Kol malacha lo ye'aseh behem, and malacha may not be done on those days, but here's a qualification. Ach, except asher ye'achel l'chol nefesh. Whatever needs to be done so that everybody, kol nefesh, and we'll have to define that, we'll see the post can say that doesn't mean everybody, it means most people, because you can't have something that everybody wants. Things that everybody needs to eat, l'chol nefesh, for all the people. Fine. So it seems that there is an exception that malacha on Yom Tov, which is needed for achila, in order for people to eat, the kind of thing that everybody eats, is clearly allowed. That nobody disagrees on. And the next principle as well, we'll see, Lamaisa nobody disagrees on. There is a major discussion in the Mishnah itself as to whether achila here means dafka achila. You can only do malacha for eating and drinking, because eating and drinking is what Jews want to do on Yom Tov. Or does this mean any Yom Tov need? We'll see. Have a look here. Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Number four. Beit Shammai omrim. Lo yachem adam chamim leraglav. You may not heat water on Chag. We're not talking about Shabbat. On Chag, in order to wash your feet. Absolutely not. Ela'im kein ru'uyim l'shtia, unless it's also water that is drinkable. And the Mefroshim explain, not just that it's theoretically drinkable, but you intend to drink some of the water that you're boiling. We are boiling a big pan of water. Some of it is going to be to make tea. Some of it is going to be to wash my feet. That says, Beit Shammai, you can do. How come you already add extra water just for your feet? This is the principle of marbe b'shi'urim, which Beit Shammai also agree to. It's a halachic principle that if you're already lighting a gas once and putting a pan on it, then on Yom Tov it doesn't matter whether the pan has this much water or this much water. It's one act of malacha, as opposed to other things. To pick 15 apples off the tree is 15 different acts of malacha. But to put one pot on the stove and just put more water in it, that says you can do, but certainly not if it's just for washing your feet. And the Bar Tanura explains, Ochel nefesh atira haTorah. The Torah only allows ochel nefesh. V'lo lahavir or, you may not light a flame, bishvil rechitza. For washing. Washing is not ochel. It's not ochel nefesh. U'beit Hillel matirin. Beit Hillel says you can. You can cook water on Yom Tov specifically to wash your feet. You don't have to be drinking some of this water. So why? The Bar Tanura explains, D'mitoch shehutra havara letzorech achila. This word mitoch is an important word. He's bringing a Gemara from earlier in Beit, which I didn't bring on the sheet, otherwise it would just take too long. Mitoch means since you're allowed to boil water or to do malachafa achila, hutra nami shelo letzorech achila, you're allowed to do it if even though it's not for eating, because sheyesh batzorech ezeh hana'ah, when you have some need for enjoyment on Yom Tov. Now, how does this work? All of a sudden, just because in theory, if you're allowed to cook for food, mitoch, because of that, so you too you're allowed to cook for other things. So there are various different ways of explaining how mitoch works. One of the most interesting, I think, is in some of the Rishonim, I put it in the sheet, this is also brought by Rav Yosef Engel in Bava Kamma, that achila, on a pshat level, doesn't necessarily just mean eating. Achila, ochel nefesh, means any enjoyment, benefit that a person will have on the Chag. Achila is a broader word. Rav Yosef Engel brings an interesting proof that there's an avnezikin in Bava Kamma. If an animal chews away at your fence, so that's one of the avot nezikin. You can sue somebody that has destroyed your fence. So Chazal say that the eating, the achila, includes not only chewing, but scratching and rubbing and anything else that the animal does in order to get hana'ah. All of a sudden, how is that eating? No, because eating includes all of these things. Just a reminder, if I could ask people to turn off their phones, this is a good reminder to turn off your phone. Okay, so far everybody's happy. Everybody, Beit Hillel, we've Paskin, of course, like Beit Hillel, not like Beit Shammai, that's no question about that, lahalocha. The principle of mitoch applies on Yom Tov. Since you're allowed to heat water for cooking, you're also allowed to heat water for bathing. However, Beit Hillel said, feet. They didn't say anything else but feet. They specifically said feet. They could have said kol gufoy or rechitza generally. They specifically said feet. Therefore, something is bothering Beit Hillel, even Beit Hillel, that he won't allow you to heat water for general bathing on Yom Tov. And here the question is, and this is when we start to get a little bit more complicated, what is it that is a concerning Beit Hillel, which is the reason why you can't just heat water for a general shower or bath? So there are three possible reasons and three possible ways to answer this question. And we have to differentiate between them in order to understand why people are coming from different directions on this. The first one is the principle of shaveh lekol nefesh. Shaveh lekol nefesh, if you're going out, would you mind asking them if they're copying some more? Because people get a bit antsy when they don't have the sheet, okay? It's like a FOMO thing. If you're missing out, I might miss a word on the sheet. It's all Torah Shabbat Peh, that's also good. Number five. So one of the issues is shaveh lekol nefesh. What's going on here? This is a Gemara in Ksubas. The context of the Gemara in Ksubas is actually, is a husband allowed to have his first relations with his wife on Chag? Because there may be bleeding, it may be chavala. Is that okay? Is that not okay? So that's the context originally. Number five. Amale Rav Papi le Rav Papa. So Rav Papi says to Rav Papa, Elami Ata, that if you're going to allow this kind of thing, Mutal Asot Mugmar Biyontif. You should allow people to use a mugmar. What's a mugmar? A mugmar is some kind of incense burning that very posh people, after they'd had dinner, would burn some incense to take away the kitchen smells and the food smells. And so people like that. Why can't you do that on Yom Tov? It's burning, but it's a kind of ochel nefesh. Do mitach shehutra have ara letzarech hutra nami shalom letzarech? If you're going to turn around and say mitoch applies, if you can do it for actual eating, you can do it for any Yom Tov needs. And by the way, I didn't mention, there is a major machlokas in the Rishonim, what's called a Yom Tov need. So the most lenient approach says, any Yom Tov need, anything you want on Yom Tov is appropriate for is called mitoch. Thank you very much. Another opinion says, no, it has to be for a mitzvah. If you look at the Gemara there in Beitzah, they talk about carrying a lulav. Since you can carry food, you can carry a lulav, or carry a Sefer Torah, or carry a child. It's obviously a mitzvah to go out and enjoy Yom Tov. And others say, no, it can be any need, but only for Yom Tov. I'm not getting into all of that now, but it's asking here about the mugmar. If already mitoch says you can do whatever you want as long as it's for Yom Tov needs, why can't you make a mugmar? Amalei, so he replied to them, Alecha Amakra, the Pasuk answers your question. Achashe yechal lechol nefesh. It says whatever all people need. Dava hashava lekol nefesh. Something that is equal for everybody. Or we say most people maybe. Amalei Rav Acha brei de Rabba lav Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha brei de Rabba shes Ashi as follows. Eli mi'ata nizdomin lat svi be Yontif. What if you found a deer on Yontif? Hoil ve'enu shav lechol nefesh. Hachinami de osa lemishchatei. What's he asking here? A mugmar is only used by finicky, somewhat indulgent, rich people who can afford to burn incense to take away the kitchen smell. Most other people say, wait 5 minutes and the smell will be gone. So burning a mugmar is not shavala kol nefesh. So you can't do it on Yom Tov. Only certain people do that. Most people don't. So according to this, maybe if you had a deer that you could shecht on Yom Tov, are you going to tell me you're not allowed to do that? Most people don't eat venison. It's too expensive. Only rich people. Montefiore eats venison. Rothschild eats venison. Everyone else, yeah, in England you have to be careful because the venison in England, I believe, are the property of the Queen. And you're not allowed to shech them without getting royal permission. So if ever you were caught in a situation of doubt when you were about to shech the deer in England, so now you've at least you can take that away. So he says, no, shechting is different. Amalei responded to him, no, Ana Dara had so rech lekol nafish kamina. We're talking about something that everybody needs. Not everybody needs a mugmar. But svi, but to eat meat, tzarech lekol nafish. Everybody needs to eat meat. Meaning, the only reason the poor people don't have venison is because they're poor. If they had an option, they would have venison, of course they would. But if you said to a poor person, do you think we should burn some incense? They said, what are you talking about? We don't need incense. That's for rich people. So it's different. So it's something that most people need in some way. So, Tosfos, and here's the key for us now, jumps on this immediately and says, aha, this is the reason why you can't have a shower on Yom Tov. This must be the reason. Number six. Beis Hillel Matir, and this is already Tosfos on the Gemara back in Beitzah. Beis Hillel allow you to wash for your feet. Wash heat water to wash your feet. The Dafka L'Raglav. Only your feet, said Beit Hillel. So that understands Tosfos. Avalakol gufoi, but if you want to boil water, which don't forget is a malacha, it's on Yom Tov, heating water. Lakol gufoi, my did asa, that there Beit Hillel agree that's prohibited. The dava hashav lakol nefesh bainin. We need it to be something that everybody needs. V'zein uroya ele bnei adam meunagim. The only people who bathe daily are meunagim. People who are into oneg. Maybe a little bit indulgent.
Hedonists.
What's that?
Hedonists.
Hedonists. Hedonists. People like the Romans. It's almost like a recreation activity rather than a hygiene activity. Aval yada v'raglav, but your hands, your feet, shavu lekol nefesh. Now, interestingly, he's thrown in hands here. The Gemara, the Mishnah only said feet, but all the poskim agree that feet doesn't mean dafka feet. It means face, hands, and feet. Meaning people wash their face every day, normal people, not just mu'unagim. Normal people wash their hands. Do normal people wash their feet? We'll talk about that in a minute. But Tosfos clearly understands that the reason that Beit Hillel prohibit washing for the whole, heating water for the whole body, is because of tshava l'kol nefesh. Now, immediately you're thinking, well, this has changed today. People shower daily. We'll see if that's true, by the way. It's not the case for all nationalities. If anyone's ever taken the French metro in July, they'll know that not everybody has the same hygiene habits, if you like, as everybody else. I used to work in Paris in the summer. That's why I'm particularly sensitive to that particular issue. But we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. Okay, well, yeah, correct, cologne, fine. So we'll see in a minute. But Tosfos understand this to be the problem. And don't forget, this is not specifically a problem of bathing. This is a problem of heating the water. And according to Tosfos, this is potentially a Torah prohibition. You are only allowed to heat water on Yom Tov for something which is Shavu L'Kol Nefesh. And if bathing your entire body daily is not Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, then you just broke Yom Tov on a Torah level by heating up that water. You weren't allowed to heat that water. That's important. Issue number two, over the page to page three. A separate issue is what's called Gezerat Melchatzaot, or Gezerat Habalanim. Everybody knows what Balanim are. They're people in charge of the bathhouses, or the mikvahs. In this case, it means the bathhouses. Now, on Shabbat, everybody agrees, there's no discussion, that you cannot heat water on Shabbat to bathe your body, unless it's pikuach nefesh. There's a discussion about a newborn baby or a bris mila, baby just after a bris. Can you heat water on Shabbat? But a regular person, unless it's life-threatening, there's nothing to talk about. If somebody, if a Jew or even a non-Jew boiled water for you on Shabbat, so you could bathe, you can't use it. Everybody agrees on that as well. That's called Maaseh Shabbat. You can't use it. It's just someone's broken Shabbos on purpose, or even a non-Jew has done it for you. You can't benefit from that till after Shabbos. But what about a chag? How does that work? So we'll see that in a minute. Number seven, the Mishnah talks about a very technologically savvy group of people in Tiberias around the time of the Mishnah. Yes?
What if a non-Jew needed water for himself?
Okay, good. So if he heated water for himself, then you can use it if it's purely for himself. The question is, are you concerned that he might have added a little extra for you? There's different kinds of malacha. If a non-Jew lights a candle, then one candle is good. Nela echad, nela elef. Nela mea, I should say. You know, one candle is good for everybody. But with heating water, we're worried. Maybe he'll, I'll do something for the nice Jewish lady that lives next door. And that might be a problem. Number seven. Maaseh, says the Mishnah, she'asu anshei tiberia v'heviu silon shel tzonen l'toch ama shel chamin. The men of Tiberias, of course, if you've ever been to Tiberias, I'm sure you have, the hot springs of Tiberia, which are heated by seismic underground activity. It's on the Syrian-African plate. And there are, if you listen carefully by the Kinneret, you'll hear sizzling sounds. It's like they're trying to take some of the pressure out from the underground seismic activity, because the problem with the Kinneret, I didn't realize this until recently, well, a few years ago, people are always worried about the level of the Kinneret. It's gone down this, it's gone down that, and you say, there's hundreds of feet of water, meters of water, why are people so worried? The reason they're worried is not because there's not enough water, there's tons of water, it'll never go dry. And the problem is, there's a lot of pressure of the seismic activity trying to push the sulfur up into the water. And there's a hydrostatic pressure of the weight of the water, which is holding the sulfur in. And if the water goes down to a certain level where there isn't sufficient hydrostatic pressure, they're worried that that will allow all the sulfurous gases out and it will completely ruin the entire lake. And it will become like the Dead Sea. That's the problem. That's why they worry. They're not worried it's going to go dry. So the men of Tiberias said, you know something? We can have instant hot water on Shabbos and we don't need to do a thing. We're just going to set up a pipe with cold water running through the hot springs, seismic under the ground, and you'll turn on the tap on Shabbos, hot water comes out, it's beautiful. Nobody heated it. There's nothing you can say against this. Except, Amru Lehem Chachamim, the rabbi said, no way, we're not having you using hot water on Shabbos. In B'Shabbos, if you use this water on Shabbos, Kachamin Shehuchmu B'Shabbos, we're going to treat it rabbinically, as if it's water that you heated on Shabbos. V'asurim B'Rechitzel B'Shtiyah, and you can't wash with it or drink with it. You can't boil water on Shabbos for drinking either. But Yom Tov, and if you did this on Yom Tov, Kachamish Huchmu be Yom Tov. We kind of consider like that, like water that was heated on Yom Tov. Asurim Berechitza, you're not allowed to bathe in it. Umutarim Beshtiyah, but you are allowed to drink it. Because on Yom Tov, you can heat water for drinking, but not for full body bathing. So, what was wrong with this? The Chachamim said, okay, it's very clever what you've done, and you didn't break Shabbos on a Torah level, but we consider this use of hot water on Shabbos completely prohibited, or even on Yom Tov. Why? What's the problem? What could go wrong with this? So this gezerah was made, look at number 8, and the Gemara explains in Shabbos as follows. B'tchila hayu roichetzim b'chamim shehuchmu b'erev Shabbos. Originally, people used to go to the bathhouse on Shabbos. It was not a problem. Don't forget, bathing is not per se a prohibited activity on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Are you going to say, well, maybe you might squeeze your hair, squeeze the towel, shampoo? We'll get to that. But per se, bathing is not a problem. So originally, as long as somebody heated up the water on Erev Shabbos, or if you set up one of these clever Tiberius technology incorporated systems, then that would be fine. Hitchilu habalanim, but then the men who ran the bathhouse started lachmei b'Shabbos, to heat water on Shabbos, va'omrim, but they would tell people, me'erev Shabbos chuchmu. This is from yesterday, it's fine. They lied. People wanted hot water. Obviously, if you heated the water yesterday, and you go for a schwitz on Shabbos afternoon, the water's tepid. So they heated it on Shabbos and said, oh, we have a special kunz, it's from yesterday, don't worry. And it was wrong, they lied, and therefore, asra etachamim ve'intiru etazeya. So the rabbi said, okay, no more bathing on Shabbos, because these people are heating water. But you can go to the zeya, to the sauna. Sauna's fine. Why would sauna be better than bathing? So we'll see. Tosfos later is going to say, sauna was considered a health benefit, whereas bathing was considered just an indulgence of a certain level. But sauna was considered a health issue. We'll plug that into the shower question. But people would still go to the bathhouse. They didn't listen. They'd say, ah, sauna, bathhouse, what's the difference? And they'd say, when they came out, and people would say, use the bathhouse on Shabbos, people would say, no, we just went for a sauna, it's okay. But they were lying. They went to the bathhouse. So they said, okay, no more saunas either. So the heating room, Chami Tiveri, but they said that the Tiberius system, that's fine, because no problem there. Chami Tiveri, it's hot already. The Adain Hayrotzim B'Chami Ha'or, but people would still go to the regular bathhouse, and then people would lie. V'Oimrim B'Chami Tiveri Arachatznu, and they'd say we went to the hot springs, it's okay. So Asra Lahem Chami Tiveri. So they acid everything, because it wasn't working. The heating room, Lahem Etzatzonim, but one thing they're left is, you can have a cold bath. Because if you think about it, a cold bath, there's none of these problems are relevant for a cold bath. Yes?
What's the logic behind making all these takanot for people who are lying and being machal Shabbos anyway?
Because people, maybe people are amaratzim, they don't realize, they don't understand. First of all, the Balaam
who's heating it up knows exactly what he says. I heated up.
So you're asking a question, do we make gezeiros to stop people purposely breaking halach? It sounds like we do. Yes, we do. Yes?
During this hot summer,
yes.
The water in my hot water tap is permanently hot.
In your cold or your hot? In your hot. Good, you're talking about because you have a Dud Shemesh. We'll get to that. Even the water in my cold tap is relatively warm. I can't really get a cold shower till October or November. But I'm not here to discuss my own showering, although I'll mention something later. Okay, so what's interesting here is, again, meta halachic, ra'u, the rabbi saw, she'ein hadava oimid lehem. People at this point, the community basically rebelled, and they said, forget it. Cold baths on Shabbos? We have to at least be able to have a hot bath in the chamitavaria. Okay, so hitiru lehem chamitavaria. So they went back, and they said, okay, we'll allow the chamitavaria. V'zei b'makamis oimidus. But we won't allow the schwitz, we won't allow the bathhouse, we'll just allow the chamitavaria. You see here, by the way, that a very important point, which is meta halachic, that the rabbis were only able to make a takana, or a gezerah, if the community was able to keep it. And when the rabbi saw that the community was just wholesale ignoring it, it was more appropriate to roll it back rather than have people just ignoring things. And this is an important hashkafic and metahalachic issue. If a rabbi knows that everyone's going to just ignore what he says, then sometimes it's better to just not say it than have this to be, oh, here's the rabbi everybody ignores. Okay, gosh, kayach. So then he just becomes someone who is ignored on all things. Obviously, it depends on the situation. Okay, so that's where it's all coming from. But the truth is that this is not an issue which is d'oraita. This is very important. This is a rabbinic question. Meaning all of these sources agree that as long as the water was heated from beforehand, no one's breaking any Torah prohibitions. It's all gezeiros to stop all of these things, all of these lies kicking in. Even then, even though, I need to go on, I've got a lot to do, sorry. Even then there was a debate. Okay, so you can't go for a bath. But look at number 9. Itzma, says the Gemara in Shabbos. The later Amoraim asked, Chamim shehuchmu me'erev Shabbos. But if I have water from Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos, from Erev Shabbos, Okay, I can't go to a sauna. But Rav Amar lemacharoichitz behem kol gufa eva eva. Here you see this come in. But maybe I can still, you know, have a, you know, wash my hands, wash my legs, wash my head, all separately. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel Amar says no. There already you see a debate about the Shabbat question, where water was heated before Shabbat. Even though you can't bathe, can you at least wash your body limb by limb, or is it only your hands, feet, and face? But remember, this is not the Yontif question. The Yontif question may be more severe because we're talking about heating the water on Yontif, not just using water, which is rabbinically prohibited. Interestingly, the Rambam, and this is where life gets more complex, does not use the principle of shav l'kol nefesh. It sounds like the Rambam is not bothered by the fact that people don't bathe daily on Shabbat, every day. And therefore, his concern with bathing on Yom Tov is not shav l'kol nefesh. Number 10. Rechitza v'sicha harizeh b'chlal achila. Washing on Yom Tov. Anointing yourself with oils. Obviously, you can't shmear with cream because that's a problem in Marech, but like a thin oil on your skin, that's all okay. B'chlal achila v'shtia v'oisin osam b'Yom Tov. You can do that on Yom Tov. Shnei emar, acha sheyecha l'chol nefesh. L'chol shetzarech haguf. L'fikach. Therefore, mechamim chamim. Okay, you can heat up hot water b'Yom Tov. V'rochetz b'hu panav yadav v'raglav. You can only heat hot water on Yom Tov for your face, hands, and feet. Aval kol gufo osar. But your whole body not. Why not? So Tosfos said, well, it's not shav l'kol nefesh. Rambam says, no. Mishum gzeirat merchatz. It's part of the rabbinic prohibition. Once you're messing around with hot water, even on Yom Tov, it's part of this whole rabbinic concern. People are going to take it too far. They're going to go to the next stage, etc. V'chamin shehuchmu me'erev Yom Tov. But of course, if you heated water from Erev Yom Tov, Ruchitz v'hem kol gufa. That's fine. You've no problems there beyond them. No problems at all. Shelo gazra al dava zeh ele b'shabbat bilvad. Now understand where the Rambam is coming from. When the rabbis make a gezeira, like a fence around the Torah, they do not normally make a gezeira around their own gezeira. Normally they can't do that. Ultra virus. They're not allowed to do that. They can make a gezeira around a Torah prohibition. So comes along the Rambam and says, look, on Shabbat, where there's a Torah prohibition to heat water, so there they could make a gezerah of water heated even on Erev Shabbat. But on Yom Tov, he says the actual issue itself is only rabbinic. On Yom Tov itself, he's not worried about shav l'kol nefesh. He says they included Yom Tov in the general gezerah, but Erev Yom Tov, water heated on Erev Yom Tov, why would that be prohibited? That would be a gezerah around a gezerah. If Yom Tov itself is rabbinic, we're not going to have a problem with Erev Yom Tov. Whereas Tosfos might say, no. Tosfos also agrees that there's this Gezeirat HaBalanim. He might say, well, no, on Yom Tov itself, it's potentially a Torah prohibition. It's not Shav L'Kol Nefesh. So it's appropriate to extend that even to water heated on Erev Yom Tov. That's a very important point which you'll need to bear in mind. Okay, that's the first two. So Tosfos goes with Shav L'Kol Nefesh. The Rambam says it's all part of the rabbinic prohibition. Go over to page 4. There's a third issue. The Maharil, who of course was Ashkenazi, and we see this in other places as well, the Trumat HaDeshem, says that there was a general minhag amongst the Ashkenazim that they didn't use to wash at all, bathe fully on Shabbos, even in cold water. Have a look at number 11. Tshuva. So the Maharil writes a Tshuva. He's living in the 14th century in Germany, so quite early on, but he's in Germany. Now, there's a debate about whether mikveh bizmano is a mitzvah, or whether mikveh bizmano is not a mitzvah. Meaning, if a woman needs to go to the mikveh, does she have to go dafka on the zman, at the actual time that the mikveh falls due, or could she go afterwards or whatever? So sometimes women would go on Erev Shabbos to the mikveh, even though that wasn't mikveh night, as it were, that wasn't the end of the seventh day of counting, of the Shiva Nikim, but it was convenient, they would go to the mikveh on Shabbos as well. It says, we don't do that. We don't go to the mikveh on Shabbos unless Shabbos is the night for mikveh. If she's able to go on a weekday, lo yavdin on that. We don't allow her to go on Shabbos. Mishum chashash kamei surim. We're worried about a few different things that we haven't even raised yet. Do me high timer for this reason. Minak pasha shelo richas b'tzoyim b'Shabbos. That's why we Ashkenazim don't even have cold baths or cold showers on Shabbos. For time of the shayach lemikzah. Why would there be a problem? Mishum schita. Oh, we see this. Schita. You might come to squeeze. We'll talk about what the problem of squeezing is in a minute. Umishim noisei dalet amas. People might carry the water. Most places didn't have an eruv. But karamelis, it would be in an area where you can't carry, even rabbinically, mine, sha'alav, or they carry on the water on you. Don't forget, if you wet yourself, and there's water on you that you're going to dry off at some point, you don't even want it there, and then you walk around without an eruv, you're carrying the water around at some stage. So that we're not happy with. The alunte, people carry around towels. Mixas naros in certain rivers, mishum shita, but gufo berba kismin. Maybe there's even a problem. You can't swim in the sea. You might come to make some kind of a raft if you're getting into trouble because the sea's quite choppy. But even in a bath, which there is no objective rabbinic prohibition, we don't use the bathhouse at all, even for cold. Now, you might, of course, want to turn around and say, who wants to take a cold shower in northern Germany anytime? Yeah? Whereas in the Mediterranean countries, you can't stop people taking a cold shower because people need... Maybe. It's a bit of a balabatish way of looking at it, but the Ashkenazim understand there is a minhag. So there are these three issues. Getting clear in our mind, there is the Tosfos question, which is heating the water on Yom Tov could be a Torah prohibition, because it's not Shavuot Kol Nefesh. There is the Rambam's issue, which is heating the water on Yom Tov is a rabbinic prohibition because of the general balagan that they had with the bathhouses. And we have the Maharil, which is no showers, no baths generally. Nothing to do with the hot water, even cold water. We're worried people are going to squeeze the towel, squeeze the hair, etc. Yes?
I'm just wondering now, in Israel, we don't eat more meat than sun.
Oh, we'll get there. I brought you in the middle of page 4 a little bit of application to this. We're not going to read it now. What are the nafgaminas, the practical applications from these three different reasons? Whether you go with Tosfos that it's a Torah problem, whether you go with Rambam that it's a rabbinic problem, or whether you go with the Maharil that it's a minag. And I brought you different implications. How does that relate to water heated before Yom Tov? How does that relate to someone who's mitzta'er? Let's say you turn around and say, yeah, but I really need to take at least a cold shower or a lukewarm shower on. I'm pained by the heat. So Tosfos will say, look, I'm really sorry for you, but this is a Torah prohibition. Like, there's nothing you can do. If it's Pekuach Nefesh, we could come back and ask again. But now, what can we... The Rambam, if it's rabbinic, there may be exceptions. The Makom Choli lo goes with Rabbanim. Maybe the rabbis didn't make this gezerah for people who are genuinely discomforted in a serious way. And again, maybe the Minhag never applied to that. So I brought you that. Would it make a difference if people shower daily or not? You can read that on your own. Now, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is the cause of the different psakim that you're getting from your different rabbis. Because the Shulchan Aruch on this issue is not clear. At least the psak is clear, but the reason for the psak is not clear. Look at what the Shulchan Aruch says, number 12. Mutter la'achem b'yontef mayim lirchotz yadav. You're allowed to heat water on yontef, this is Hilchos Yontef, not Shabbos, for washing your hands, and feet and face go with that as well. Avalot kol gufoy. Definitely not your body. Afilo einu roichtzo bevas achas. Even if you're not washing your whole body at once, even if you're doing it bit by bit. Now, why? He doesn't say why. Is it that I can't heat the water on Yom Tov because of Tosfos' reasoning? It's not Shavuot Kol Nefesh. Is it because of the Rambam's reasoning that it's not? It's all part of the Gezerah? What is the issue? We assume it's not because of the Maharil, because the Maharil was an Ashkenazi, and the Chabah here is in Tzfat. Aval b'mayim shehuchmu me'erev Yom Tov, but if there's water that you heated before Yom Tov, muter lirchatz kol gufa afilu kecha, you can wash your whole body in. Oh, now we're on safer ground. That has to be the Rambam. That can't be Tosfos, because Tosfos will say you can't use water that was heated before Yom Tov either, because that's part of the Gezerah. Okay, so if this is the Rambam, then maybe the first statement was the Rambam as well. Maybe, maybe not. You can only do this in a private area, aval b'merchatz, in a public bathhouse, also. Okay, we know that. That's definitely part of the Gezerah. Comes along the Ramah and says, v'yesh oisrin b'chol inyan, and there are those opinions that say the whole thing is prohibited. Don't even go there. V'chei no'agim. And that's what we do. That's the minhag. Okay, so who's the Ramah? Is the Ramah going like Tosfos? Which you might expect. Often the Machaber Rav Yosef Karo goes like the Rambam, with the Sfaradim, and the Ramah, the Ashkenazi, goes like Tosfos? Or is the Ramah going also like the Rambam? Or is the Ramah saying, no, the Minhag, this is the Minhag, like the Maharil, the reason is we don't bathe even in cold water? It's very hard to know, and I brought you, if you look on the page 5, I found on the, there's a very good website called Halachipedia, I know you might think it sounds a bit sketchy if it's Halachipedia, but I can assure you it's not. It's a very well-moderated website, moderated by a bunch of YU guys, very, very well-sourced. You could do a lot worse than look up any particular issue on Halachipedia. I'm not saying you should, you know, paskin as a posek from it, but I'm just saying it's a very good guide. And I brought you in the footnote there. They have a long section of proofs that the Machabeh was like Rambam or like Tosfos, the Ramah, and I'm not going to do it now because now is not the time, but you'd look later. But that's one of the reasons that people are coming with different answers. And just think about this for a second. Tosfos is the one that says it's prohibited on a Torah level on Yom Tov because of Shavah Lekol Nefesh. Okay, so if it's a Torah prohibition, I assume it's stricter. But hang on a second. If we're going to say that Shavah Lekol Nefesh is something that might change, then paradoxically, that opinion actually will allow me to be more lenient, potentially. Where if it's the Rambam who says, it's a gezeira, okay, so I'm not, oh yeah, but it's different today? You generally can't mess around with gezeiras. We don't turn around and say, because life is different today, this rabbinic edict doesn't apply. We do sometimes say that, but it's much rarer. Whereas Tosfos might give us more room, we'll see how we get on. A couple of things before we look at this issue. Developments over the last 500 years before the modern period. So I brought you a few things here. First of all, the Magen Avraham, I'm not going to read it inside, but he says very clearly, this Maharil is really le'inyam. This minag that the Ashkenazim don't bathe, even in cold water, we really hold by this. The Maharil, the Trumas Hadeshem, and many people are told very clearly, one thing you don't do on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you don't take a shower, hot, cold, nothing. Don't go in the pool, certainly don't go in the sea. And it's because of the squeezing issues. What's the issue with squeezing? So there are two squeezing problems. Squeezing out the towel, which would be malabain. When you squeeze material, the water goes through the material and there's a concern of malabain, which is cleansing. And squeezing hair, that's less of an issue in my case, but squeezing hair where people have long, lovely hair that they squeeze out, whatever, that's not malabin, that is a dush issue. Dush is where there's water enclosed in something that you're trying to get out, that might be dush. On the other hand, that's certainly not dush on a Torah level, dush on a rabbinic level, but is it even that because the water's going to waste? There's a lot to talk about, now is not the time, but squeezing in principle is a problem. Using shampoo, you can squeeze the shampoo in and out of your hair. All of these things are questions. So the Magen Avraham says, we follow that. And the Mishnah Berurah says, absolutely, we don't go in the river. We forget about the sea. The sea is clearly rabbinically prohibited by the Gemara. But we don't even go in a river. We don't go in a pool. We don't even have a shower or a bath. They didn't have showers in those days. That's all part of the minhag. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the following shaila, number 15. Minag medina seinu shelo lirchos b'shabbos afilu b'tzonim. Our minag, the Ashkenazim, means we don't bathe on Shabbos even in cold water. Ha'im ein lehit kaleach b'tzonim gam b'yom sharav. Is it prohibited to shower in cold water on a really hot day? So Rav Moshe comes in with a very interesting answer. He says, tshuva. It's a one-line tshuva. I gave you the whole tshuva. Belot sar, if it doesn't really bother you, if you're just doing it because you feel like it, Yesh lahachmir, better not to. Avshaloi matzino, even though we'd never found anywhere the Sifrei Rabboseinu minhag zeh. We never ever heard that showering was prohibited. And Rav Moshe therefore makes an interesting distinction. He says, bathing up until modern times was bathing in a bath. Showering is a modern phenomenon and there's no minhag on showering. Very important tshuva, even though it's one line. Because showering is a completely different modus operandi to going into a bath. Now you might say you're just as likely to squeeze. I don't know. You walk into a shower, water comes down, 2 or 3 minutes, you get out of the shower. It's a different kind of thing to getting into a bath. And he says, but it's best to be machmir because, we don't tend to get in to do these things. But it's not clear there's any real minag. Aval kishimit star, he says, I'll tell you something for sure. If it's uncomfortable for you, micham, because of the heat, b'chamayom, rasha lahakeh. You're definitely allowed to take a cold shower. And this, by the way, is the psak of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa as well, that even though the Ashkenazim certainly have a minhag that they do not take showers usually on Shabbos, if it's a very hot day and you're very uncomfortable, there is absolutely no halachic reason if you're very uncomfortable why you cannot take a cold, certainly not hot, a cold shower on Yom Tov or even on Shabbos. You have to be careful, don't squeeze out your hair, don't squeeze out the towel, etc. Yes?
What about, you said cold shower, what about Yatzel Medin?
Okay, so we'll get to it. On Shabbos already, that's a problem. because you're heating the way this water systems work on Shabbos. We'll get there in a minute. On Yom Tov, certainly less of a problem, because we'll see that maybe a less than Yad Salenibo is still called cold in Halacha, but here I'm talking about cold. And that, by the way, is my practice. I find the heat quite strong in the summer. It's not unusual that I dip in and out of the shower a couple of times in the day, even on Shabbos, and that is absurd. You just have to be careful not to do any squeezing. That's one thing. That's an important issue of showering. The other one is heated mikvahs. And I mentioned here, I didn't bring you the whole tshuvas. Over the 18th, 19th, and early 20th century, a number of poskim, the Chacham Tzvi, the Nodib Yehuda, also the Dibrei Chaim of Sanz, said that our minhag now for women on Shabbos is they always go in at least a warm mikvah, a lukewarm mikvah. That was already in the 19th century, 18th, 19th, and by the 20th, a hot mikvah. Women use hot mikvahs on Shabbos. Obviously, the water is heated before, etc. How come all of a sudden they're allowed to do that? So a few different things. Sometimes some people said, well, this whole Gezerah Derabanan issue was never made on mitzvah bathing. This is mitzvah bathing, not like going to the bathhouse. This is for a mikvah. Or maybe that it is now Shavah L'Kol Nefesh. Women don't go to the cold mikvahs. Maybe in the 13th century, women broke the ice on the mikveh in northern Germany and went in on Shabbos. It says already in the 17, 1800s, you can't tell our women to do that now. They want a nice warm mikveh. My issue with the men's mikveh sometimes is they're not just warm, but they're almost boiling. It's impossible to actually take the heat in some of these mikvehs. I don't quite know why. But that was another thing that developed. Okay, let's bring this up to the 21st century. Showering. Do people shower every day today? So I brought you three graphs. Thought you might find this interesting. First of all, weekly showers around the world. You'll see that in the top, in the middle left there, Japan and China are not so into showering. Neither are the English, apparently. As you go through, the Germans a bit more, the Russians, US is somewhere in the middle. Okay. On the high showering stakes are the Australians, interestingly, and that may be obviously heat-related, the Middle East as well, Colombia, and apparently the Brazilians are taking nearly 12 showers a week, which is great if you're working with the Brazilians. This also deals with shampoo issues as well, because not everybody who has a shower uses shampoo. I'm not getting into that now, that's way beyond the sheer. I brought you a little graph here based on today's world. What percentage of people take a shower? I think somebody's phone's going off. Oh, finished. What percentage of people in different countries take a shower daily? You'll see that more men shower daily in most countries than women. Actually, it's the other way around here. More, it's interesting. There's more women shower daily, which is interesting because down in the bottom graph, you'll see that it's the opposite way around, that actually men tend to shower more than women. But anyway, you can examine these graphs later. There's clearly been a major change in showering habits. Also, hot water ain't what it used to be. You don't need balanim and people turn on the tap. It comes out. That's definitely different to how it used to be. Does that make a difference in halacha? So this really is the first key meta-halachic question. Does Shavah L'Kol Nefesh change as the society in which you live changes? So then it wasn't Shavah L'Kol Nefesh to shower every day, but now it is. So there are a few different approaches. One approach is Rav Nissen Karelitz, or also this was the position of other poskim as well, the Deborah Sina Rav and the Be'er Moshe, are very unhappy at the idea that you will change halakhic definitions based on the way that society works. If Chazal told you it's not Shavah L'Kol Nefesh, it's not Shavah L'Kol Nefesh. People shower every day, they're all mu'unagim. It's not called Shavah L'Kol Nefesh. And therefore, there's nothing you can change. You don't even get off base one. There's nothing to talk about. The fact that we live in the 21st century and shower every day does not affect the halacha one iota. And many poskim will go down that line. Very straightforward. There's nothing you can do today that you could not do then. Nevertheless, a number of other poskim, and this was clearly Rav Soloveitchik's position, this is brought down by a number of his Talmidim, is that Shavah L'Kol Nefesh is variable, is subjective to some degree, and does change. And there are indications in this in the Mishnah Berurah as well. If you look here in number 16, the Mishnah Berurah talks about whether people in Poland are allowed to heat water on Yom Tov to wash their feet. The Gemara said feet. So he says Yadav. Says many people understand that this word feet means face, hands, and feet. That always what it's always what it means. I'm not so sure, he said. Ulai debeyamenu, in our times, ein rechitzat raglav shavah l'kol nefesh. These days, people in Poland do not wash their feet daily. People didn't take their shoes off that often. People certainly didn't walk around barefoot. V'nishne zen, this halacha, it only applies rak b'yameihem, only in those days. She'hai holchim har b'yachev. Many people went around barefoot, b'lim n'alayim, without any shoes on. V'domi rak gav l'sha'a ivri aguf. And maybe now feet are like any part of your body and you can't wash it. And he goes on to talk about whether that maybe you don't have to be machmir, but in any event, you see from this bir halacha that Mishnah Berurah wrote here that it could be that it's subjective. Subjective, he says here in the chumrah way, that maybe you can't now wash your feet, but definitely there's an element of subjectivity. And the long bir halacha here I'm not going through as well. He opens up the possibility that today it might include roiv guf, most of your body. He goes back and forth, should we be machmir, should we be mekel, etc. But he raises that question. And the Tosfos in number 18, I brought you here, which again I'm not going to look through in detail, he raises the question that the sauna was for health reasons. And that's why the Chazal were less concerned about saunas than they were about bathing. And therefore maybe, do people shower every day today for health and hygiene reasons? Or just for comfort reasons? And that's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that question. Depends on maybe who you are, where you live, how hot it is. But certainly, people these days are concerned, I think, much more how they smell, which is not really a health and hygiene issue. It's just a kind of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro sensitivity. I think back in the day, people were less sensitive to that. Well, for sure they were. I mean, think about smoking. Now most people can sense that someone's smoking, like, 50 yards away, who's smoking? We're very sensitive. But think back to the day where you used to sit on an aeroplane and they had a smoking section and a non-smoking section on the aeroplane. As if, like, the smoke stops at row 15 and doesn't go. People used to completely be used to the smell of smoke. It didn't bother people, or only very few people. So people do change in the way that they're sensitive to smell, but that wouldn't be a hygiene issue. Okay, fine. As I said, many poskim, certainly Rav Soloveitchik and many in YU, paskin that fundamentally showering is shavu l'kol nefesh. Therefore, fundamentally, you can take a hot shower on Shabbos. Rav Herschel Schechter is concerned that also the gezeira d'rabbanon applies. You can't just get rid of that. Even if you say it's shavu l'kol nefesh, check, we've got rid of the problem number one. But we still haven't got rid of problem number two, which is the Rambam and the gezeira. And he says, so therefore, maybe take a lukewarm shower. Doesn't have to be cold. But this is because the gezeira was made only on hot water. Which makes sense. The bathhouse attendants used to lie because the customers wanted hot water. Lukewarm water, who needs to lie? You know, the water's lukewarm. So Rav Schechter says you can take a shower on Yom Tov, obviously careful not to squeeze, etc. But you cannot use hot water. You should use only lukewarm water. Other of the YU rabbis say no, hot water's fine. Maybe not very hot water, which only really self-indulgent people would use, but certainly hot water, according to many, what applies. Okay, that's a shaila I put in your footnote. Some people say lukewarm means anything that people don't call hot. Some people say it means anything which is yes and yad saledis boy. Other people say it's anything which is low than body temperature. Yad saledis boy is around 113 degrees. Okay, Fahrenheit, not Celsius. Do not shower in something 130 degrees Celsius or you won't be coming back to next week's year. Okay, body temperature is around, I don't know, 97, 98, something like that, Fahrenheit. There is a whole shaila, by the way, is how hot is Yad Saledit Bo? For Shabbat, that becomes a big shaila, because you can heat something up to Yad Saledit Bo. So Shlomo Zalman has a very interesting psak. He says, the Gemara clearly says that if you shecht with a knife, and you find that the animal is a trefer, the knife is not treif. Because the blood, whatever temperature the blood is, that is halakhically, says the Gemara, tsoinen. That is cold. That is below Yad Saledis Bo. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I just need to find the kosher animal with the hottest blood temperature. And I can tell you that at least I know is not called Yad Saledis Bo. So he did his research and he said the hottest kosher animal in the world is a sick goose. The sick goose. And therefore the body temperature of a sick goose is 113 degrees. And therefore he says, I know for sure that is not Yad Saledis Bo. Amazing. You have to be a botanist, an anatomist, the whole thing. Okay, fine. A few of the comments. I brought you on page 8. How do hot water systems work? This itself is an interesting question. Outside Israel, go over the page to page 8. Outside Israel, the normal system is a hot water boiler system, where you have a boiler which has an element, either an electrical element or a gas burner, and it heats the water in the boiler. And when you turn on the hot tap in your sink, then immediately and at the same moment, cold water goes into the hot tank. Obviously, that's a safety mechanism. If you just ran down the hot water and the gas burner was still going, you'd be exploding, you know, into the sky at some point. So cold water always goes in. So this becomes a problem, because even if this hot water that you're using was heated from days ago, potentially, not on Shabbos, the cold water that now goes in, you don't see this, it's happening somewhere in the attic or the loft or whatever, the cold water goes into the hot water tank and it gets heated. And therefore you are causing cold water to be heated on Shabbat, which is a Torah prohibition. There's a whole shaila, is this grammar, is this indirect? Well, it is indirect, but it is immediate. There's no time delay here. So most poskim say it's not really grammar. And even if it is a grammar, grammar is prohibited on Shabbos, unless there's a reason to permit it. Oh, is it a davar she'eino miskaven? You're not really intending on using it, heating the water. So then you're getting, well, it's a psik resha. We bring in all the Hilchos Shabbos issues. It's inevitable that it's going to be heated, but I don't want it. But do you really want it? I'm not getting into that. But most poskim will say, therefore, that a normal boiler hot water system, certainly on Shabbat, is prohibited. And on Yom Tov, when you're using the hot water for many permitted purposes, is usually fine. Because you can use hot water on Yom Tov to wash the dishes, that's no problem. You can use hot water on Yom Tov to wash your face. Everybody agrees with that. So less of a problem. But as you pointed out, someone pointed out, I think he pointed out, yes, Mrs. Don pointed out that the systems in Israel are usually Dut Shemesh. So Dut Shemesh is a whole different ballgame. That is a shiur in and of itself. All I've done for now is brought you a couple of pretty pictures, which are that Dut Shemesh either works by passing water through the solar panels, which the sun, it's concentrated heat from the sun, the sun heats the water, or that the sun heats elements within the panel, which heat up a coil, a heat transfer coil, which is in a tank, and the water is heated from the coil, which is itself heated through the sun. Okay, there are different ways of doing it. Everybody agrees that this is not a Torah prohibition on Shabbos. Bishul in a hot water solar system, I don't mean the solar system as in the Pluto, you know, whatever. Well, the Pluto is no longer a planet, not for now. Okay, in a solar system, everyone agrees it's maximum a rabbinic prohibition, and therefore the stakes are lower, definitely. And there are many people that will say that even if you can't take a shower in New York, you can take a on Yom Tov, you can take a shower in Israel because the hot water is already a rabbinic issue, or maybe even less. But there are different kinds of Dut Shemesh. There are Dut Shemesh which have an electrical override for the winter when you can. They also may be different, but I'm not getting into that now. And I mentioned at the bottom there are other concerns as well. There are a lot of systems these days which are instant hot water. My system at home, when I turn on the hot tap, it starts a heating system. It heats it immediately. That for sure is a no-no. That absolutely is prohibited because you've just turned on the ignition for the gas on Shabbos. And also many of them have pump systems now. Even toilets sometimes have pump systems that when you press the button, it actually activates an electrical pump, which also is a problem. Not like the old days. Shabbos was a little easier technologically when toilets just flushed like toilets, as opposed to like high-powered computers. Okay, last page, I brought you on 9 and 10, I brought you some psakim, which we've really talked about. The Sfaradim for sure go like the Rambam. So for the Sfaradim, taking a hot shower on Yom Tov is permitted if the water was heated before Yom Tov. If they're heated on Yom Tov, then many of them are machmir. For Ashkenazim, I put here, there are two groups. There's the ones like Rav Soloveitchik and others that say, it's shava l'kol nefesh, you can take the hot shower. According to them, you can have a hot shower on Shabbos, as long as you don't squeeze and you don't operate any pumps, etc. Maybe lukewarm water, according to Rav Shechter. But then there's all the others. And I suspect that the minority are the ones that say you can, and the majority are the ones that say nothing changed, who say that you cannot do it, you just can't. And there's a discussion, you know, many of the articles that I referenced at the beginning of the sheet go through a whole thing. Can you stand in the shower, put your arm in? It's like doing the hokey-gokey. You put your arm in, you put your arm out, you put your left leg in, your left leg out. Then now you know why. To keep halacha, you have to know how to do that little dance. According to Rav Soloveitchik, like, Tesha, like, you know, it's Zavlikol Nefesh, just go in the shower and don't squeeze your hair, etc. But many poskim get very upset with this, like I said, either because of the subjective nature of this psak. Well, if you say that today, then tomorrow, you know, pork will be kosher because pigs now are clean. Okay, that's a different, maybe I'm wrong in assuming that. But also, I think there's a real concern that people are going to just get in the pool. And once they're in the pool on Shabbos, no, Shabbos is not so Shabbostic. This week they're in the pool, next week they're ordering French fries, the week after it's martini, you know, and who knows where that's going to go. Last page, I brought you some other issues dealing with hair, if you are taking a shower, shampooing, brushing, braiding, etc. Two last points. There is a parallel debate about smoking. Now today this is much less relevant because almost all posts can say you're not allowed to smoke ever, because the health issues are much clearer than they were 40, 50 years ago. But back in the day when people didn't realize that smoking actually was so dangerous, there was a shaila, can you smoke on Yom Tov? And back in the day when everybody smoked, shavlekol nefesh. But that went the other way. Your poskim in the 70s, 80s are already saying, well, now not everybody smokes anymore. Maybe now you can't smoke on Yom Tov. Again, almost all poskim would tell, say, now you can't smoke at all. And I brought you one last thing on the Orach HaShulchan in number 19, where he says, some people smoke on second day Yom Tov, but not on first day Yom Tov. And he says, that's disgraceful, because that is mevazer second day Yom Tov. Either you do or you don't, but don't do it on first day and not on second day. So by the same token, if you're going to take a shower and you say, well, I only shower on Yom Tov Sheni, that's not such a good idea. Unless, of course, you're saying, I only need a shower on Yom Tov Sheni. Especially when it goes into Shabbat, and then there's an issue of Kavod Shabbat, of Kavod Shabbos, meaning it's Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, I'm showering on Friday because I need a shower, and I'm also preparing for Shabbat, which you're allowed to do if you have an Eil Tashilin, etc., etc. So all of these are hopefully explain why, you know, you decide who to ask, and you get the psak that they say, and those psakim will be different. Next week, we get into the issue of dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which we'll see is just the tip of an iceberg, which will take us into all sorts of other areas of where the halacha changes or doesn't. Okay, have a great week. Yeah.